Our book critic John Leonard has a review of The Fords by Peter Collier and David Horowitz. It's about the family whose automobiles first put America on the road.
Peter Collier and David Horowitz used to be muckraking journalists for the old, sassy left-wing Ramparts magazine before they started writing what might be called prime-time biographies of families like the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, and now the automotive Fords from 1896 to 1986. By prime time, I mean the sort of dynastic bestseller that reminds you of a TV miniseries or a soap, in which the rich are punished for their money by bad luck and bad sex, and the rest of us feel better, we even feel edified, watching them break their toys and lose their souls. You will enjoy the Fords and then hate yourself in the morning. Collier and Horowitz aspire, of course, to something loftier, a tragic afflatus. They mention Oedipus, by which they mean both the monarch in Sophocles and the complex in Freud. They mention Shakespeare, by which they mean the mad king, Henry I, the doomed prince, Edsel the Never-Ready, and various dangerous usurpers, the guys who tried to steal the family jewels. From Harry Bennett, with his silk shirts, his mob connections, and his union-busting goon squads, to Robert McNamara, the whiz-kid accountant with, quote, no feel for the product, to Lee Iacocca, a one-man cult of his own personality. By the time Collier and Horowitz get to Henry II, grandson of the Model T, company redeemer until his death last month, and legendary rightful heir, they are comparing him to Prince Hal and Falstaff and Odysseus, whereas they only compare his grandfather to, quote, some god of Oriental mythology, simultaneously creator and destroyer. The trouble is, these Fords don't speak Elizabethan English or ancient Greek or Sanskrit. Their language and manners never really left the family farm. They aren't big enough to carry this symbolic weight. The bottom line on Henry II is that in the last few fiscal years, he sold more cars and made more money than General Motors. This isn't exactly Aristotelian tragedy. It's not even Restoration melodrama, although Collier and Horowitz try hard, asking us to believe that the second Henry avenged his father, the hapless Edsel, at the expense of his grandfather, the first Henry, anti-Semitic crackpot, soybean fetishist, hater of jazz and golf. Pathetic only child Edsel, the man, not the machine, who dreamed in vain of front-wheel drive and independent suspension, dies powerless at 49, without having figured out that his father's real children were the Tin Lizzie, the assembly line, and the company spy. The rest is gossip. Four generations of Fords, with too much dough and not enough taste, descended into mistresses, land grab, conspicuous consumption, alcoholism, megalomania, and Eurotrash. In their lifespans, old Henry popularized the Protocols of Zion in his own vicious newspaper distributed through his dealerships. And his son died of a broken heart. And his grandson rediscovered sex. And his great-granddaughters ran off with Italian ski bums and Greek shipping magnates. And all of this is very sad. But we're still talking about guys who made cars, not the fate of nations. Maybe when America motored off the farm, we lost our way. But the Fords seems to be about something else. It seems to be about the trouble a country gets into when the peasants have money.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed The Fords by Peter Collier and David Horowitz.